Now, you probably don't realise it, but several years ago, the individual medical boards throughout Australia, which registered doctors, amalgamated, if you like, kind of amalgamated, into one agency, or came in under the umbrella of one agency called the Australian Health Practitioners Regulatory Agency, and also covers several other professions such as nursing and midwifery and chiropractic. But there has been some variation in how it's worked and some complaints coming through to the health report about how it's worked, and also a recent article by Dr. Kerry Breen, who's a physician and past president of both the Australian Medical Council and the old Medical Practitioners Board of Victoria, which I think still exists actually, has been complaining that maybe APRA's got too big for its boots. Kerry Breen is in our Melbourne studio. Welcome to the health report, Kerry.
Oh, good evening, Norman.
So is this just sour grapes? You know, somebody who used to run a medical board saying, you know, big in nationals gone bad?
No, I think there'll be people who think that, but I certainly don't think that. I've just been a very keen observer of medical regulation since I became involved in 1981, and I think there are structural and legislative flaws that the national system has that probably can't be overcome if they continue down the path they're continuing on.
So what's the problem?
I think it's the size. It's enormous bureaucracy. You mentioned three professions, but there are actually 14 professions covering 600,000 doctors, and it doesn't extend to New South Wales, which covers a third of Australia's doctors. So the bigger your bureaucracy, the harder it is for people to get in and out, for getting information, etc.
Hold on a second. When you say not New South Wales, New South Wales is under the system. It's just that they do their own disciplining.
Exactly. They are co-regulated. So they leave the national register and the registration processes with APRA and the New South Wales Medical Board, and they've renamed their medical board the Medical Council of New South Wales, and it deals with complaints and performance and doctors' health and those sort of issues.
And in other states, you've got to go to APRA to complain, is that right? Or you can go
primarily
through the old
yes.
medical board, but APRA deals with it.
Well, there's a difference in Queensland again, but I'm not quite across the detail in Queensland.
So two issues. One is that it wasn't that great beforehand because there was some variation. The West Australian Medical Board was heavily criticised for, you know, some GPs being allowed to practice who were clearly problematic. I think the Queensland Board's been criticised for delay. That the small medical boards really did seem to have their problems. Registration wasn't portable between states. So if you were registered in New South Wales, you had to get re-registered in Victoria. You know, it was the whole railway gauge stuff all over again. I mean, surely it's more efficient to do it the way we're doing it.
From a registration point of view, absolutely. The National Register is a huge step forward and the portability is a huge step forward. So I wouldn't suggest unravelling that in the slightest.
But let's go back then. So your problem is with discipline.
Well, it's the complaints process and the way health issues are handled. I think they're the two things that people are most unhappy with. And it's not just myself, of course. There have been now three and a fourth pending inquiry into APRA. There was a Senate inquiry in 2011. There's a Victorian parliamentary inquiry in 2013. There's a recent Snowball independent assessment of the scheme. And now the Senate is setting up another committee to look at how complaints are handled.
But can you give me specific examples of what's going wrong?
I'll give you two practical ones. Within the legislation, there's a power to issue a caution. And a colleague that I know of was issued with a caution, but she was never interviewed by anyone and she felt that she wasn't able to put her case. And on top of that, that caution is semi-public in that she's forced to tell any employer about it. And on top of that, there's no right of appeal. So I think that's a flaw and that left her very, very unhappy. The second example is a much more a bigger issue, and that is within the state of Victoria since 2001, we've had a very comprehensive doctor's health service, doctor's health program, and although we've lobbied for 5 years, it's still not in any way certain that the program will be able to continue in its full format. And as a result, I think that the national system is very rigid and not able to accommodate variations from state to state. We're a big country. We've got lots of variations in medical culture around the country, and I don't think the big bureaucracy can cope with that.
But sometimes that variation is a problem.
Yes, but if the best program in the country and a program that's basically built on programs that have been established in North America, Canada and the USA for 40 years, then the problem is with the other states that don't believe that sort of program is worth having.
So what you're suggesting is that the Victorian and New South Wales, because New South Wales has continued with its doctor health program, I take it, which is also successful.
Theirs is different, and they're very proud of it, quite rightly. Theirs is an entirely voluntary system. I think they've got a secretary that's paid for, but the rest of it's voluntary.
And I should just explain here, this is where a doctor's got an alcohol problem or is depressed, has a mental health issue, they're free to come forward and they will get help without necessarily threatening their registration.
Exactly. I mean, the stigma involved of being reported to the board is very, very great. And if you're not impaired, if you've got an illness that might lead to impairment, the best thing you can do is to get early intervention. And you can't do that through the medical board's health committees. So most jurisdictions in Canada and the USA have had these programs, and Victoria's now had it for 15 years. For example, last year they had 150 new people coming to them. Half of those were junior doctors in training. And that has to be really important early intervention for those stressed doctors. And they weren't impaired, they were just stressed out of their mind and wanting help.
And you're saying then that that should be a national program because it's not uniformly available in the other states, apart from New South Wales?
I would like to see it be national, but if it can't be national, then Victorian doctors who are very happy to pay for it under the old system should still be able to pay for it fully. So, and in Victoria, it was paid for through the annual renewal of registration fees.
So does this mean you've got to get rid of the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency, in your view?
Oh, I don't think so. No. I think probably if we come back to the complaints side of things, we've already had a national experiment in that 70% of doctors are covered by APRA and the Medical Board, and 30% in New South Wales are covered by the New South Wales Medical Council. I think a simple way forward would be for all the state health ministers to say we're going to copy New South Wales and become co-regulated. That would reduce the scale of the complaints mechanism and allow greater chance of getting high quality resolution of complaints and notifications.
To increase costs by reintroducing bureaucracies that have been shown to be wanting, particularly in the smaller states in the past?
Well, we could debate whether all the bureaucracies have been wanting, but I certainly agree there'd be some further costs in transitioning to that model. Absolutely.
Kerry Breen, thanks for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you, Norman.
Kerry Breen is past president of both the Australian Medical Council and the Medical Practitioners Board of Australia. Also with me in the Melbourne studio is Martin Fletcher, who is the CEO of the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency. You heard what Kerry said. I keep on getting emails from disgruntled doctors saying, you know, it's taken a long time, it's been unfair, no right of reply. So, I'm getting some noise in the system, if you like, which supports what Kerry's saying. What's your response?
Good evening, Norman. Well, look, I think while the confidence of doctors is obviously important in terms of practitioner regulation in Australia, really at the heart of our work is public and patient safety, and ultimately we're here for the community, not the medical profession. So the move to National Registration and Accreditation Scheme has been an important national reform to the regulation of doctors and other health practitioners, and I believe overall it is working well. It's raised the bar on public safety and it's addressed some of the unacceptable variation there was in regulatory decision making across states and territories prior to the national scheme.
But I suppose the allegation is it's gone down to the lowest common denominator.
I don't believe that has been the case. When health ministers decided on the legislation that underpins our work, they actually adopted what was the highest standard in any one state or territory at the time. So overall, the national scheme has increased the requirements that there are on practitioners to ensure public safety.
Now, Kerry Breen said, you know, quoted one example of a doctor who's given a caution, it goes on the public record, no right of repeal. What's your response to that without relitigating the case in question?
First of all, I'd say that where we issue a caution, indeed any regulatory action that a board takes, we always provide an opportunity for the practitioner to put their case to the board in terms of what they think are the reasons or issues behind the concern that's been raised.
So why would you get a caution?
You'd get a caution where there may have been something that you have done that has been a departure from an accepted standard of care, for example, or there may have been some issue with your record keeping or some issue of your communication with a patient. And I think cautions are a very interesting example because although, as we've heard from Dr. Breen, that there may be examples in which a practitioner views a caution as being unfair. In fact, if we talk to the community, their concern is that a caution is something that isn't on the public register and isn't necessarily something that the public would be aware of. So I think it's a very good example of where there are a range of views about what the right regulatory response should be.
So you've got the right to put forward your position, but no right of appeal.
In relation to a caution, there isn't a right of appeal, but in relation to other regulatory decisions that the board makes, so for example, if there was a restriction placed on registration or you were suspended from registration because of a concern about your conduct, there is a right of appeal in relation to those sanctions.
And what about the doctor's health service? I mean, this is a huge issue where doctors, I mean, New South Wales and Victoria in particular, have really worked hard to gain the trust of doctors, that if they feel they've got a mental health issue or a drug and alcohol issue, they can come forward, seek help and get monitored in their practice so that patients are kept safe, but they've got a chance to actually heal themselves. And the criticism of Kerry Breen that in Victoria it's insecure, this service, and it's not uniform across Australia.
Dr. Breen's made a very important point about the importance of doctor health services and particularly the well-established program in Victoria, and that's a program that we have continued to fund since the start of the national scheme. And in fact, what the Medical Board of Australia in conjunction with APRA has done after carefully reviewing the Victorian program has been to agree to fund health programs in every state or territory, because in the past, although we had a very strong program in Victoria, there were a number of different programs to a greater or less extent in other states and territories. So the board is in fact funding health programs that will be available in every state or territory and will build on the very good work done by the Victorian program.
So you're feeling much misunderstood, are you?
I am feeling a bit misunderstood. I welcome scrutiny and I welcome constructive debate, but I think it is important that it's accurately informed.
So what's the Kim Snowball review? So Kim Snowball, former Director General of Western Australia Health Department, has reviewed APRA. What's he said?
Overall, the review from Kim Snowball highlighted very much the importance of the achievement that there's been in relation to the establishment of the national scheme, and that was something that was also recognised by ministers in welcoming his review. So, in fact, what was said, it was a significant and effective reform of health profession regulation. That's not to say that there aren't areas for improvement, and he made a number of recommendations in relation to those improvements. But when I look at the scheme over the past 6 years, and I've been the CEO for 6 years, we've made enormous improvements in many areas and it keeps on getting better. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but it's certainly, I think, a very important platform and strong national framework for regulation in Australia.
Now, we spent this time talking about doctors. The Chiropractors Board, who you also cover in your regulatory framework, has come under a lot of criticism for being a toothless tiger and chiropractors continuing to say that they can cure asthma and, you know, almost everything else known to humankind and modern paediatrics, and they still seem to get away with it, and the Chiropractors Board doesn't seem to crack down.
So as you say, Norman, there has been a concern about claims that chiropractors are making in their advertising in relation to treatment effectiveness. I'm pleased to say that we've worked very closely with the board, and today, in fact, the board will be issuing a statement setting out its position in relation to advertising in a much tougher and clearer way, and that will also include the fact that the board will be writing to every chiropractor in Australia to make sure that they are aware of the obligations around advertising in the national law, and we are and will take action in relation to chiropractors who don't comply with those requirements.
Good news. Thanks for joining us on the Health Report, Martin.
Thank you, Norman.
Martin Fletcher, who's CEO of the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency.